This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch time! Crunch time!
That's right, Kansas City, this Wednesday night. That means it is time for Crunch Time with Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bolt. We appreciate you guys listening in tonight, coming off a wonderful, wonderful weekend of the draft and a couple cool things that happened to me we'll talk about a little bit later. But
probably not.
You want to think or not. Well, Frank, we got to fill some time, but we can fill some time talking about the great sponsor. Hey. CBD American Shaman. Also, we want to thank our friends from CBD American Shaman. 30% off right now at all CBD American Shaman stores. Pop on in there and get some great CBD products. We always talk about the water solubles and the tinctures, but don't forget about the anti-inflammatories. And there's a lot of yummy stuff in there, popcorn and gummies and all kinds of candies and stuff that you could just pop them in your mouth, maybe not worry too much about the calories because it makes you feel good and it takes away anxiety and pain. And what's better than that, Frank?
Not a doggone thing. But, Tim, I've got to interrupt you here just a bit, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to borrow a line or a memory from our first guest tonight. He said, you know what you're trying to do here tonight, Frank? You're trying to do This Is Your Life, Tim Grunhardt. And our first guest tonight is the guy who brought you to Kansas City and the reason that you are going up into the Ring of Honor, the one and only Carl Peterson. Carl, say hello to Tim.
With the 40th pick in the 1990 college draft, the Kansas City Chiefs take Tim Grunhardt, Notre Dame offensive lineman. I was very, very proud and pleased to make that decision. And he worked out pretty good, Frank. Played 11 years, Pro Bowl. I think he started 164 of 168 games. And he was the rock of our offensive line. A lot of fun, smart guy, probably the most competitive offensive lineman I've ever been around. And he lined up every day and gave it everything he had. And he made us better. We got better in those 10 years. And I know that everybody he coached or coached him, from Howard Mudd to Alex Gibbs to Mike Masolari, would say the same thing. Tim, congratulations on being the newest and latest Chiefs Hall of Famer. It's very, very well deserved.
Well, thank you, Carl. One of the stories that just pops into my mind, and I must have repeated it five or six times this week, was I'll never forget, after the draft, we made a deal. They said, okay, tomorrow can you get on a plane and come out to Kansas City? We're having a Red Coaters luncheon. We'd love to have you. And, of course, I said yes, and I got into Kansas City and met with you in your office, and we took a walk around Arrowhead Stadium. And I'll never forget you pointing out the Ring of Honor. It's something I know is very important to you and with the history of the game. And you said, you know, someday if you work hard and you dedicate yourself to your craft and you do the things that we think you can do and stay healthy, you might have an opportunity to get up there. So I want to thank you for giving me that opportunity and having belief in me even back then. And, you know, I still remember you and I walking in that stadium together and looking up and seeing those names. So that's some great stuff, and thank you so, so much.
Hey, I remember it vividly. And listen, again, thank you for being the pro that you were. You know, when you make a draft choice, particularly a high draft choice, you want them to obviously succeed, but you want them to be a pro their entire career, conduct themselves the way they should. And that, and you've done that more than anything else. You've made your home in this community. You married a beautiful lady by the name of Sarah, and have a wonderful family. You coached high school football here very successfully. You coached college football, and you've become an icon. You're a radio icon.
Hey, Carl, that almost left him off the Ring of Honor. Don't forget that.
That didn't go into the voting. You're right. Listen, I have to tell one quick story on Tim. There's a thousand of them. But the first thing I would say is the number one thing I ever did for Tim Grunhardt was to trade for a guy by the name of Joe Montana, obviously quarterback, famous quarterback, from also Notre Dame. I think Tim was so excited, he couldn't wait for Joe to get his hands up under Tim's tail. But we are in Japan in the American Bowl Series, and Joe, of course, was like a rock star. I had to put on more security than ever before. Anyway, he was late for practice, and the players were out there stretching and getting ready for practice, and Joe comes out on the field, and Tib stands up. And I don't know if he had it orchestrated with the rest of the players, but all of a sudden, all the players got up, every one of them, and they started, bigger than Godzilla, bigger than Buddha, it's Joe.
I thought you were going to break
really good. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was there, Carl, too, and I remember the Joe Montana. You had to sneak him up the freight elevator in the back of the hotel all the time, so it was crazy.
That's right. Carl, I thought you were going to bring up our very, very first international trip that we went on. I believe it was my rookie year. We went to Germany, but for some reason the Chiefs decided that they weren't going to get one of the big planes, so they had to stop over in Shannon, Ireland to refill to get gas for the plane. And we all got off the plane and stretched our legs out a little bit. And I got this tug on my shirt from a guy that you hired who was in the front office with you by the name of Tim Conley. And he said, "Hey, Grunhard, let's go get a Guinness." So we walked over to the bar, and I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking a Guinness with one of the executives from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I looked around and I said, "This is where I belong."
That's absolutely right. Hey, Carl, we appreciate your time tonight. Thanks so much. And thanks for drafting Tim.
My pleasure. And have a great evening, Tim. We'll be listening.
You bet. All right. That's
so
former Chiefs general manager and president and CEO, Carl Peterson. And Tim, I'm going to bring somebody else back from the day who is going to join us tonight now. And he was your coach at Notre Dame, the one and only Lou Holtz. Coach, welcome in with Tim Grunhard.
Hey, Tim, congratulations. What a great honor. Doesn't get any better than this. And you certainly deserve it. Not only are you a great player, you're a great teammate, and players come and go. Teammates last a lifetime. But I have so many fond memories of you, and I often think of if we had recruited you at Minnesota, you may not have ended up there.
That's right. Yeah, that's
no, right. Here's what happened. We're recruiting him at Minnesota, and when we went to Notre Dame, Vinny Serrato was my recruiting coach. He said, "We got to recruit Tim Grunhard." Well, there were three other players from St. Lawrence that Notre Dame was recruiting, we weren't. But Notre Dame had honored their commitment, so we honored it. But we went after Tim Grunhard. He didn't want to come to Notre Dame because he felt it was an afterthought. We enticed him to come. He was by far the best athlete, great person, et cetera. And he long snapped for us his freshman year. It was obvious he'll be a great player. We're playing Southern Cal last game of the year. He hurts his knee. He comes to me and said, "Coach, I want to go to California. It's always been my dream to go there. Will you take me?" I said, "Hey, Tim, I don't take tours. Hell, you'll get on the plane, you'll have sunglasses, a camera, but we don't take tours." And I refused to take them. And lo and behold, he became one of the great leaders. He ended up there when we're number one playing Southern Cal number two 3 years later and beat him for the championship. But I think of, he had an old Cadillac. I don't know if you remember this, Tim. He'd drive around campus with this Cadillac, and Dean Brown, who played alongside him, great guy, would ride with him in shotgun with his elbow out the window. That's what everybody remembers. But he's just a great teammate, but also a great player. His success does not surprise me.
Well, thank you so much, Coach Holtz. And you know, once again, yeah, that's exactly right. You saw something in me before anybody saw it. And that's what made you such a great recruiter, that you were able to see the diamonds in the rough, I guess. But, yeah, when I was at Minnesota, you guys were – and Coach Stu came out to practice just about every day from Minnesota, came down and watched practice and was around, and I fell in love with Coach Stu. And you guys went to Notre Dame. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't being recruited from Notre Dame, and Coach Stu was there, and I just love Coach Stu, and, you know, grew up a big Notre Dame fan, and just was, and then having an opportunity to play for you was second to none. And thank you so much. You put me around a lot of great people, people that I'm still friends with, people who've made influences on my life. And I saw you a couple months ago at your beautiful wife's wake, and I saw Skip and the whole family out there. And you've got such a wonderful family, and you had such a beautiful wife. And I know that she is looking down at you with a lot of pride, because she always had pride with you. Every time I remember seeing her on the bus waiting in that first row of the bus with a big smile on her face, even though it was win, lose, or draw, she had a big smile on her face. So, you know, we're all represented, and we're all judged by those wives that we have, and both of us did pretty good, Coach.
Well, we did that. I got to tell you this. If she ain't in heaven, I ain't even going to try, because I have no chance. She was special. Well, you mentioned Coach Stu. You know, story about him, how he even got into coaching was he was drafted by Kansas City, I think, and hurt his knee and couldn't play anymore. And his mother called me and said, "You promised me George would graduate from Arkansas, and he's selling cars at One More Ford." So I called George and said, "You're going to come up and get your degree. You have one semester, and you're going to help me coach." And, "Oh, no, I make a lot of money." I said, "That's fine. You go back and sell after you get your degree." He came up, did such a great job. When I went to Minnesota, I took him with me. Took him with me in Notre Dame, and he's been in the pros for several years. But you were just a great teammate. And, you know, it wasn't hard to recruit you, Tim, because I didn't worry about height. As long as your feet touched the ground, I thought you were tall enough. I didn't worry about the ability to jump, because the goal line is on the ground. I thought you could get over that. But he and Dean Brown were the leaders of that offensive line, and the offensive line was definitely the leaders of our football team. I know people talk about Tony Rice and Lockett Ishmael and Tim Brown, but I tell you, the offensive line is where my heart was with, and you guys did a great job. But I just think about how wonderful your family, your children feel about this great accomplishment, because it won't sink in on you until later. But what you've done has been tremendous. And, you know, I'm in the Hall of Fame, Tim. I'm in the Hall of Fame because of what other people did. You're in the Hall of Fame because of what you did, and that's a big difference. Must have a great feeling. Also, and a great success as well in the radio business. You've been together for long time.
Yeah, you bet, Coach.
Yeah,
we have. Some people will say too long for that. But Coach, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. It's great to honor Tim. He's going up in the Kansas City Chiefs Ring of Honor, which is their Hall of Fame, and we just think it's spectacular. And, Coach, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
God bless you, Coach.
Well, thank you. I just have one question that I would ask the Kansas City Chiefs. What the hell took you so long?
that is our exact sentiment, too.
Good luck to you, Tim.
Thank you, Coach.
You have a problem, you call me, then you call 911.
Thanks so much, Coach. We're talking with Tim Grunhardt here tonight, and we are doing a little segment of This Is Your Life, Timmy. So you better be prepared, because we're just getting started.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell me this.
Yeah, I know, Tim. I know. And why would I?
I mean, you got to get this stuff cleared for me.
Hey,
you know that.
Are you ready for this one?
I doubt it.
Here's the guy, okay? This is the guy that ended up coaching you well enough to get you to Notre Dame, Coach Mike O'Neill, your high school football coach at St. Lawrence. Mike, welcome in.
Thanks, Frank. Timmy.
Coach O, what's going on? Wow, it's great to hear from you.
I just heard the end of that. How could a Southside guy get fooled and not know something's coming?
Hey, Coach, let me tell you something. I think he sort of knew. I'm not positive, but I'll find out later, okay?
Okay, great. Timmy, God love you. Obviously,
yeah,
we're really
Coach,
proud of you. I think they're dancing in Beverly Park right now, and there's going to be more than likely free drinks at Ken's and Cork and Carry all night, I would think. He knows what I'm talking about.
I do. I know exactly what you're talking about, Coach. I'll never forget, I think we were in seventh or eighth. I was in seventh or eighth grade. My brother Danny was playing basketball at St. Lawrence, and I'd go to all the games, and you'd come over and say hello to me. And not that it was recruiting, but you were just coming over to say hello. And I'll never forget you had a workout that was planned for some of the incoming freshmen. Yeah. I think we're all in eighth grade. And I got there, and there's Pearson and Galanik and Damagala and Miner and all these, Harrison and all these guys, and they're all so much bigger than I am. They're doing all these pull-ups. They're doing all these push-ups, and they're benching 225 multiple times. And I couldn't do one pull-up, and I think I put 225 on the bench, and I got just smashed.
Those are superstars recruiting event, and we didn't have to work as hard on you because we always had your brother. So I don't know. A lot of people don't know this, but we actually made home visits in those days to eighth-grade kids to get them because the recruiting is so – we can talk about that now because I'm retired. recruiting is was just like the NCAA. We did home visits. We had superstar events. We phoned them. We phone called them and invited them to things. So it was a lot. But this guy was just a pure joy to have around.
Thanks, Coach. The start of just going over to St. Lawrence and taking that CTA bus to the RTA and coming up Central Avenue for practice in the morning and watching you walk out in those bike shorts. I'm not going to tell these guys how tight those
hot
were.
Hot pants we used to wear. But, Tim, do you remember the time?
We'd come up there, and it was hot, and it was nasty, and they were tough practices, and Coach Trombetta would have his motivator out, and if you stopped moving your feet on your dry block or you didn't put your head in the right spot, he'd pull the motivator out and kind of get you in the right spot. And those are the kind of things you remember. And for the rest of my career, I was always afraid that motivator was going to come a-swinging, and that's why I never stopped finishing plays. So I learned that from you guys.
That stuff will get you fired today. But anyway, Tim was what a great kid to have, and he doesn't like to toot his own horn, but he's done a lot for St. Lawrence. He built them a weight room, and he's anytime they need something, he's there. I know he's that way in the old neighborhood, and what can I say about him? We had no motivational troubles with him, and he played with a couple of Parade All-Americans. I was telling you the other night, Frank, we had five kids off that last team all originally commit to Notre Dame, and every one of them was a great player. But Tim was a guy that, he had above-average talent. He was a good player. He wasn't he didn't have all the hype as these other guys, but as we found out with a dozen or so years in the NFL, the cream came to the top, so we're just proud as we could be of him.
You bet, Coach. And we are very proud of him here as well, going up in the Ring of Honor, talking with Coach Mike O'Neill, who was Timmy's head football coach at St. Lawrence High School. And we're just going to leave that Catholic high school's recruit thing on the back burner, okay? Because I went to one, too, and I know exactly what the heck's going on, okay?
Yeah.
So, Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate it, Tim. Love you, kid. Congratulations.
Yeah,
we're all happy.
Well, you guys were the catalyst to get it going, and so much appreciate everybody at St. Lawrence, and that's why I can never give enough because you guys gave me so much. And God bless you. God bless all your family and your kids, and I hope they're all doing well. And looking forward to seeing you again over there on the South Side. Maybe get some Fox's pizza.
Okay, Tim. Great. Great talking with you. We love you.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
And just to tell you folks about Tim donating to build that building on campus there at St. Lawrence High School, he didn't name it the Tim Grunhard Building. He named it after his dad. So I think that is just says a lot about you, Tim. So that's where we are.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but we're not done. We're not even close to being done. You can forget about the draft, Tim. Put all the notes away. Put them all away, right. Tim. Just stuff them in a drawer. Don't talk to me, okay? Or I'm not going to make it to break. Okay.
I had no idea this was happening.
Thank God for your wife, Sarah. Oh, my God. Okay, we'll talk about that later. You're listening to Crunch Time. We're right back with more. We got Bill Moss. We got Dave Zott. We got John Holmes. We got all kinds of people. Joe Montana. You better hang on, buddy. We're going.
Oh, no.
All right. Welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bowl here. And as we said at the top of the hour, this is your life, Tim Grunhardt. And here you are. You're now the ex-president of the Ambassadors, right? So you really didn't have to be at the meeting tonight, right? And you certainly weren't on Zoom, were you? But everybody else was at the meeting, including the next guy we're going to have on here. He is one of the original members of the original Crunch Time, still the greatest program on this fine radio station ever in the history of this station, the one and only Billy Bob, Bill Moss.
Guys, hey, Pudgy Grunny.
Yes.
My God, major hugs. Where are you guys broadcasting from?
I am here at the station, and Timmy's in Florida.
Oh, okay. So there's no place we can get a group hug.
No, right, no. Well, we're allowed to do that now, so we're good, Billy.
Yeah, you got shots, huh?
You got it, pal. So what do you think about your boy?
Man, I got to tell you, Timmy, God, you son of a gun. I'm going to tell you, I was 4 years into the league, 5 years into the league. I came in 84. You came in 89. When you came in the league, when you came into the Chiefs organization, I saw something that was like, okay, we weren't good. But I saw something that was going to turn the franchise. I saw something that was like, it's a foundation. It's either if you go to a team, you're either going to continue a legacy of greatness, or you're going to be a cornerstone of what changes it. And when you came there, you were in the second round for whatever reason, didn't matter. You could have gone in the first to any other team. You were one of the cornerstones that changed it. We had John Alt. We had Richard Baldinger. We had guys. But when you came there, you solidified that group. And a lot of people remember the 1990s as like defensive oriented. Oh, those great defenses of the 90s. You know what? Hey, you anchored a line that blew open gaps. And Marty said, I don't give a damn if you're running 34 or 35 slash and everybody in the stadium knows it. We're going to run it. And you did. And you were that guy. You anchored that whole thing, man. I'm telling you, I'm so happy for you. Yeah, it's a legacy. It's for you, your family, your kids. Everything you've done it right, buddy.
Well, Bill, thank you so much, and you know how important that is coming from you to me, and you were a guy that took me under your wing and mentored me, especially early in my career, and I'll never forget Marty. One of the things that Marty would do all the time in the beginning of training camp was put a list up of the Oklahoma drill, and I think the very first guy I had to go against was Bill Moss, and I knew who Bill Moss was. I knew he was the toughest nose tackle in the league and an all-pro pro bowler. And Jonathan Hayes and Jay Hayes. Jay Hayes was my coach. Jonathan Hayes was there. And the first thing that Jay Hayes said is, you better watch out for Billy Bob because he's as tough as nails. And he's gonna set you right. You watch to see what happens. So I was scared senseless. So going up against Billy, I'll never forget. I think later on in that practice, we got in one of our many scuffles because we loved each other. We just liked to have that competitive edge against each other. I think we've told the story before. And I think you broke your hand on my face is how many times you hit me. But, you know, after that practice was over, you know, I was walking up that hill to go in Liberty, and you pulled over in your car and said, get in, rookie. And I got in the car with you, and the rest is history, man. I appreciate so much all you've done for me, and you've always been in my corner. You've always backed me up through good times and through bad. You've always been there for me, man. I love you, and you are one of the reasons why I do a lot of the things that I do in Kansas City, because I learned it from the best, and that's Bill Moss.
Yeah, Timmy, I got to tell you too, man. You know, I was there with you your rookie year when your dad passed. I was got to know your mom, your brother, your family. It was that stuff is so cool that you can't replace. You can't. It's just entrenched in you forever. And I think about all those things, and I think it's like yesterday. You know, you're at my house and for Thanksgiving in 1991. You and Zach. And or you had the horse in your barn.
Oh, Copper.
all those things. I mean, it just doesn't go away, man. You know, and I'm so happy for you, brother. That you are a piece of Chiefs history that is embedded in that, and for you and your family and that legacy. God bless you, brother.
Well, thank you, Bill. And I'll never forget the best part of that Thanksgiving dinner was, I think, one of the gals who was putting a stuffing in lost her ring, and I think somebody got a ring or something.
Cindy Hackett, Dino's wife, lost her ring in the stuffing, and Barry Word ate it.
Oh, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. Okay. No, you can't.
Dino Hackett. God.
We were all kids, man, going through something that was unbelievable. But to watch everybody come out of it and grow and develop and become and do what we do, Frank, you've been an institution in Kansas City forever, doing the things you do charity wise, Channel 4 and Love Fund and all that. And Tim, I know you've spent countless hours doing things that we all do, and for a good cause. And gosh dang it, man, I'm so proud for you. I'm so happy. It's just a great deal.
Yeah, and I just want to tell both of you guys before we let you go, Bill. And I know we won't talk about Copper in the garden hose. Okay, we'll leave that story out of here. But I just want to thank you two guys. When we came on, you know, did all the interviews with you guys or whatever. But when we came on this radio station and we put together the original Crunch Time. That is the most fun I have ever had in my life in broadcasting. I mean, it was just the best ever, and it was wonderful that you guys, let me be part of that. And that was terrific. It was awesome.
Hey, wait a second. I couldn't wait to get to the studio to just hang out with you guys. And how about the Canada fishing trip?
Oh, my God, I forgot about Canada. That's right. Hey, we milked this place for everything they're worth, okay? Still the highest rated program they've ever had.
That's right.
Right here. You got it. Billy Bob, thanks, pal. We love you.
What's up, guys? Johnny, congrats again, my man. See you.
You're the best, and we're just gonna bleed over from that because there was a name mentioned in that grouping right there when Billy was talking about that, and that's the one and only Zotter, Dave Zott. Dave, how are you, buddy?
I am excellent. I'm excellent. How are you doing, Timmy boy?
Dave, I'm so glad to talk to you, and you and I've been texting back and forth, and I hit you up on Saturday morning. I couldn't tell you what it was, but you were on the front of my mind when this whole thing was going on, and throughout the whole thing is, you know, you and I had so many great times together, went through so much together, and God bless you, man. It's great to hear from you.
Well, Tim, I wouldn't be happier unless maybe if my son was getting the similar honor, and I was ecstatic. My wife told me first. And I guess it leaked out on Facebook or something. I'm on no social medias, you know, which doesn't surprise me.
That's why you're tough to find.
I'm tough to find. Try to stay under the radar. But I am so overjoyed and thankful for this honor that you're receiving. And it's so well deserved. And I heard Timmy, I heard Bill say some of the same things, that sentiment that I believe is, you're an institution, and you've been a Kansas City Chief for the last 30-plus years in being in town there. And your play alone, you deserve to be in the ring. And now accumulation of everything you've done, you've been up there twice. You know, that's never been done, but they should do that twice up there. And I couldn't be happier for you, Tim. And congratulations. Well, and we live life together. you know, we were two young guys who came in and didn't know a whole lot. And we kind of figured it out together along the way. And those memories are I cherish to this day. Some of the good and some of the bad things we got involved in, you know. But you live and you learn. Yeah, you know, Dave, I was telling the story the other day about you and I going down to Mountain Home, Arkansas, right before cuts, because we figured that they couldn't find us. They couldn't cut us if they couldn't find us. So we were down
exactly.
there on the White River, and you made the team. I knew you were going to, but you made the team, and you looked at me when you found out. I goes, you know what? I got nowhere to live. So you and I started living together, and those were great times. And you know, other than my beautiful wife, Sarah, and this may sound strange, but you're the only guy I've slept with as many times as Sarah, basically, because we were on the road together every week and lived together for multiple years. And you're one of my best friends and like a brother, and I love you like that. And, you know, you certainly were the really the gasoline in this tank, in this engine that kept me going. So I do appreciate it, and I can never thank you enough.
And for you, you know this obviously, but for our listeners, once you play a certain amount of years, they'll give you your own room on the road. And I think it's after year four. Back then, you weren't vested to your fourth season. And they came up to us and said, you know, you guys can get your own room. We're like, no, we're fine together. So we were like the oldest guys. We were like year 10 and 11 and still rooming on the road together because that's what we preferred, you know. And we would walk into the hotel room, and each knew what bed to take and what the temperature had to be on the thermostat, and you know, and the top sheet had to come off, the you know, comforter thing came off, they got thrown in the corner, and we had a whole routine. It was like a couple, like an old couple. It was like an old couple, you know, going on the road, and some of those things, like, you know, I never like the memories we had and the games we played together and the camps we went through. And we've seen, unfortunately, in the past year, some great coaches that we're involved with. You know, the Howard Mudd, you know, unfortunately passed away this last year, another motorcycle accident. I hate motorcycles, and he was taken far too soon. And we lost Marty this past year. But what we went through together in those camps, and those were training camps now. I mean, those were brutal. Brutal training camps. I ran into Martin Bayless, and one day he was working for the union, and he used to come through on periodic visits, and the Jets were one of his teams. And I said, Martin, do you remember the camp we had at 17 straight days of doubles? He said, Dave, it was 19. I'll never forget it. It was 19 straight days of doubles up in River Falls, and. You know, obviously, you can't have one double session FAS anymore. Those were different times.
They were, and the only thing that I used to hate about our is you snored and probably still do. This is horrible. He would wake up and half the room would be on his bed because I was thrown at him in the middle of the night trying to get him to roll over. But there was one other time, I don't know if you remember, we were in Oakland, and for some reason I, you know, got up and I don't know what I was doing. I ran into the glass window, and then they got in bed with you, and that was about the last straw, I think. Oh. You said, you know, get your butt back into your own bed. What are you doing? I had no idea. When I got in bed, I was like, oh, this is not where I belong.
Oh, my, yeah. Oh my gosh, we're going down a bad path here. This is great.
Oh, he yelled out, like, you red, 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 and he took off running and smashed into the sliding glass window.
Yeah,
right. And was disoriented. And they climbed the bed with me. I said, hey, fella, you know, you got in the wrong zip code here. Yes. You remember the time I told this story? We just drafted a young man from USC, fantastic football player, Elijah Vera Tucker, and he's from the Bay Area. So I was out to dinner with him the other night, and he grew up all Raiders fans. Do you remember the first time we went back to Oakland, and the place was, of course, you know, insane, bunch of guys out there. And
I know what you're going to say. And Timmy and I, we always, during National Anthem, we're always to the far left. So we'd go all the way to the left. And I don't know if I was on the end or you're on the end, but we're down, both of you were down on the left end. And during National Anthem, these things are, they're hitting us in the back, hitting us off our shoulder pads, hitting us. And I turned around after National Anthem, and someone was, they were throwing live bullets at us during National Anthem. Live rounds. And there were like, it was like 44 mag and like 30-06. So Tim had a 30-06. He started picking them up, putting them in his sock. So it was almost deer season. He was going to use them for deer season. He was, I'm going to shoot these. So I run up to one of Bay's finest, who was right there, and I go, "Hey, officer, what are you going to do this?" I'm showing him the bullets they're throwing at us, and he looks at me like there's three or four of them standing there. He goes, "Well, what do you want me to do about it?" I go, "How about your flipping job, you know? Like, just do your job. These guys are throwing bullets at us, you know? And shouldn't you get removed from the stadium for that, you know?" Oh.
Not in Oakland.
But you got to remember, I know we got to get out, but the last thing is, at that point, Dave, they started to play their famous song, and all these people dressed in black and their faces painted and all this stuff hanging off their shoulder pads of the fans and just swearing and everything else, and they started playing AC/DC Hell's Bells. I think we turned to each other and said, "This is what hell has to look like right here. This is hell. We're in hell right now." That was definitely your line for sure.
You got
this is hell.
Hey, Dave, we really appreciate your time, buddy. You are the best. Dave Zott, Timmy's former roommate, not just on the road, but for a while there, the two of them lived together. And one of these days we'll talk about Copper the Horse, but that won't happen today. Dave, thanks a lot, buddy. We love you. And, you know, thanks for joining us. I know Tim really appreciates it.
Yeah,
hey, love you, buddy. Appreciate you, Tim.
You bet. So, Tim, there goes Dave Zott. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll let you regather yourself, and we'll be back with more on Crunch Time. And this is your life. This is your life.
God.
Tim Grunhart.
Get you back for this
break. No, you won't. And, of course, that goes from me to you, Tim, as well. It's great to hear all these guys with their memories and all the guys, you know, hearkening back and your coaches. And Carl Peterson joined us tonight. Lou Holtz was on with us tonight. Your head coach from high school as well, Mike O'Neill, which was great. Heard from Billy Moss. We also just heard from Dave Zott, the old Zotter. Loved the Zotter. Great guy. And, we got one other guy here on the line for you. And some of this story about you and this guy just really was important to me, because once you were done playing football and you started your coaching career, I think what you did at Bishop Miege was just incredible. And this guy's been along for the ride the whole way. We're talking about the one and only John Holmes, the head football coach at Bishop Miege High School.
My man, John.
Succeeded Timmy as the head coach. And I think one of the best stories of this relationship is the fact that when Timmy left Miege, John was the guy who was going to take over for him. He took over for Timmy. And then Timmy came back. And instead of trying to big time John and say, "Hey, look, I'm coming back. I just want my head coaching job back," he said, "John, you're the head coach. All I want to do is coach the offensive line and coach my son." And to me, that tells you all you want to know about Tim Grunhart.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. Grunny, first off, man, what an honor for you. And, Frank, I really appreciate being on. And what a lineup you put together. Hopefully, Grunny got a kick out of talking to some of these guys. But, you know, that's the type of guy Tim was, man. He still is that way, where, you know, he never wanted the attention. You know, he did it because he loved doing it. And, you know, I know we're very excited about the fall coming up for him and getting him back here. And, you know, now being able to honor him with this is a really great honor for him.
Yeah, John, I know I called you pretty close to right after I got the award. And I know you're probably a little peed off at me that I didn't tell you early, but, you know, I gave you a little. I said, "There's something going to be happening on Saturday," and I'll give you a call a little bit later. You're like, "You know, leave me in suspense." But, it was a great honor. And, you know, I think so highly of you. You know, you were the youngest offensive coordinator, I think, in the state of Kansas when I hired you. And we fought hard to
and get you that head coaching job, and you just taken off with that and won many state championships, and I'm going to win many more. And I just love being out there with you because I love people that love what they do. I love people that love the game of football, and I love people that, you know, just respect the game. And you do all three of those things. So that's why I love being out there with you. I love being out there with you. I love being out there with the kids. And, you know, and just there's nothing like Friday nights, Frank, and you know that. You wrote a book on it. And John, you know it also. It doesn't matter whether you're in front of 100,000 people or 100 people. The game of football is the same, and it's between those lines. And you know, those plays, the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's are what it's all about, John. You do such a wonderful job. And I'm really looking forward to coming back and coaching with you and hanging out with you again and being around the kids. And it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, you know, and too, Tim, I think there's a lot of people that always ask, you know, what's Grunny like in the locker room? What's he like on the field? And I always tell people he's how he was on the field playing. He's intense. You know, he's into it. It means a lot to him. You can tell it. And you know, we always joke around with him, Frank. He wears his, you know, step counter. We always write his steps down every Friday night. And he moves around. He gets after it. You know, and that's the same way he played. You know, I'm kind of hoping this year he maybe brings those Reebok pumps back out to the sideline. I really like that. I think it'd be a great honor for him to do that. But, you know, I was hoping Grunny didn't tell me that his news was going to be Saturday he was going to be head coach of Kansas. That's maybe what I thought it was. But, you know, it wasn't. This is even better than that news.
Yeah, and you know, John, he found out quickly that coaching college football ain't all it's cracked up to be.
As you know, a lot of work, that's for sure. There's a lot of work. Grunny likes to play golf still. He's got to be able to get that.
But, you know, I think it's so important. And one of the things that I know John holds dear, and I know you did, Frank, too, when you coached, that you give a kid an opportunity, give him a vehicle with sports and more poignantly, football, to go on and maybe get an education, go to college, become a great part of our community, great citizen in our community. And it's so important. And, you know, not everybody's going to be a professional football player. Not everybody's going to be a superstar football player on the field in college. But you take those high school football players and you teach them lessons. And you teach them, you know, to respect themselves and respect other people. And they go out and they're professionals at life. And that's so important.
Yeah, all their parents think they're going to be professional football players. What's wrong with you two?
Yeah, you know,
that's all funny. Yeah, John.
I think you and I were at a coach's clinic one time, and who was the old coach that was out at in Kansas and won all those state championships? I can't remember his name. Like
Barta.
Coach Barta.
Yep.
Coach Barta had a great line. One of the players, the mom came up and said, you know, my son's not playing. How come he's not going to, you know, play and get a college scholarship? And Coach Barta looked at him and said, well, ma'am, have you looked at your husband? Yep. How big is he? Well, he's not very big. Well, why do you think he's going to be a pro then, too? So, yeah, I thought that was great. This old country guy said, did you see your husband? Yep. Well, there you go. So, you know, sometimes you got to deal with those things. But, you know, it's always a pleasure. You know, you deal with the good parents, you deal with some parents that are a little bit, you know, tough to deal with, but you know, they all have their kids' best interests in mind. Sometimes that interest doesn't coincide with your interest, but yeah, that's the best interest in mind.
Really? I'd have never guessed that. Hey, John, we appreciate your time tonight, buddy, and I know Timmy's coming back as your offensive line coach there at Bishop Miege. We're talking with John Holmes, the head coach at Bishop Miege. You guys will be, as you know, will be better for it, not just the way he coaches them and coaches them up and gets them to be the best players that they could possibly be, but the best young men that they can possibly be as well.
Yep. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, Tim's taught me a lot about being a coach, but he's taught me more things about being a father, being a good Catholic, being a good husband. You know, those are the things Tim's taught me all well. And I know we're looking forward to the fall, celebrating Tim with the Chiefs Hall of Fame and getting him back on the sideline. It's going to be a great fall for the Grunhart family.
You bet. John, we
thank you,
pal.
Johnny.
You bet. We thank
all
you.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Congrats, Johnny.
You bet. All right, Tim, we got about, what we got, Rudy? About 2 minutes left, Tim. I want you to talk to the Kansas City Chiefs fans out there that pout into that stadium every Sunday to watch you guys play, and especially you, and you have always been one of their favorite sons.
Well, I want to talk to you first. And, you know, Frank, you and I go back a long, long way. I think even 1990, 91, when you were covering, and then we started doing the show at the Levee together. And I often say it, you're like my dad. You know, I lost my father my rookie year, and throughout my life, you've become that father for me in Kansas City, and I appreciate you and love you, and you've always been there for me, like we said, through good times and through bad times, and you and I have had a lot of great things, and a lot of great things to come, and you know, hey, listen, the one thing that I want to tell everybody, whenever you look up there and you see that name, the Ring of Fame, I understand it's a individual award for Tim Grunhart, but I want you to also think that, you know, especially all those fans who were in the 90s that came out to all the radio shows and went to all the charity events, that they went to all the different events that we did together, that you're a part of that. So when you look up there and you see that name, you know that you're a part of it, because I really and truly couldn't have done it without the great fans that came out to the radio shows, came out to the football games, that came out to all those events. And whenever you ask somebody in Kansas City to do something, they're always there for you, Frank.
Yeah, and I well said, Tim. I cannot add anything to that except, you know, I love you. And, you know, God bless Sarah. God bless your kids. You're not just a Hall of Famer, but you're a Hall of Fame dad and parents, and they're great kids, and you're a great guy. I love you, man. I love you.
I love you too, Frankie.
All right,
you're the best, man.
All right.
God bless you, man.
You've been listening
bye-bye
to
Crunch Time.